Abraham built an altar and worshipped. There is a theme. Every one of these heroes made worship as a lifestyle. Ladies, we need to do the same. Now, the first job that God gave Gideon was to tear down the altar that his father had built. And this was not an altar built to God. This was an idol. This was an altar that Gideon's family worshipped the false god Baal at. And God asked Gideon to pull it down. Now, the Israelites were very angry. In fact, they were furious. But Gideon did what the Lord commanded. And I'm going to come back and talk a wee bit about that later. So when the Midianites again came against the Israelites and they started to hurt the Israelites again, Gideon gathered together an army. And he still wanted to make sure he was doing the right thing. So he prayed to God to give him another sign. And this is a bit of the story you may all be familiar with, and it's Gideon's fleece. We're quite familiar with that side of it. So basically, he was leaving a fleece outside. Now, normally when you left a fleece outside and the dew came down, both the fleece and the ground would be wet, as you would imagine. But Gideon asked the Lord to do something different. He said he asked the Lord to make the fleece wet during the night, but to make the ground dry. And guess what? Next morning, up he gets. And the fleece was wet and the ground was dry. Once again, Gideon, looking for reassurance, says, Lord, one more time, but this time, could you make the ground wet and the fleece dry? And the next morning, the ground was wet and the fleece was dry. Just like Gideon had asked. Gideon knew that God wanted him to fight the Midianites. He knew the Lord thought he was good enough to do the job. And here's the key thing. Gideon decided to follow the Lord and do exactly what God had asked him to do. Now, back to the army that I mentioned. The army that Gideon managed to rally was around 32,000 men that he gathered from the surrounding area. But here's the thing. God told Gideon that the army was too big and he was to strip it back. And the way he was to do that was he was to go and he asked the men, he said, look, if there's anybody here who's really frightened to go into battle, then feel free to go up and leave. And 22,000 fearties left Gideon. Now, I'm not mocking those 22,000 because I would have been one of the fearties. 22,000 up and left. So that left him with 10,000 men. And yes, they were brave and they were courageous men. They weren't fearties. But God knew they weren't wise. Because here's the thing. It takes more than courage to win a battle. It takes a bit of wisdom as well, does it not? So how was he going to strip it back? God told him. So the 10,000 men, were sent down to the river to have a drink. And Gideon watched as they done it. And 9,700 of those men stooped down to drink the water, losing sight of potential enemy attack. They took their eye off the ball. They too were sent on their merry way. So that left Gideon with 300 men. Now, they were brave, courageous and wise men, but there was only 300 of them. And in Judges 8, verse 10, it says, these 300 men were going out to fight against an army of at least 135,000. What a story so far, yeah? So as the men were preparing for battle, God spoke to Gideon and he said, you and your servant go down to the camp because you're going to hear some encouraging news. Isn't God good? He was still reassuring Gideon. Gideon never even asked for that. He'd asked for the last three. Didn't even ask for this. God flung that in for good measure. So they went down into the camp and they were listening. And one soldier was telling another soldier about a dream. And the dream was that a great big barley loaf rolled into the camp and flattened the tent. And the dream meant that Gideon and his men would destroy the camp of the Midianites. Well, as you can imagine, Gideon returned to his men so excited, so encouraged, because he knew God was going to give them the victory, and he passed that encouragement on to his men. Isn't that wonderful? So, each man was given huge, big, muckle swords and spears and shields. No, that's not what they were given. Each man was given a lamp, a trumpet, and a clay pot. And the clay pot was to cover the lamp so the lights didn't shine too soon. Okay, Gideon then split his men into three companies. And here was the instructions. Here was his military strategy. When I blow my trumpet and when I break my clay pot, you guys do the same, but also shout the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And guess what? Those 300 men done exactly as they were told. But Gideon's men did not attack. They just stood their ground. Because here's the thing, 300 men is quite a lot. And there was 300 trumpets blowing, 300 lights suddenly going on, 300 men shouting. That would give you a fright. And that's exactly what happened to the Midianites. They were caught in the back foot. They got a fright. They started to fight amongst themselves. And actually some of them fled back to their home territory. But who did they meet on the way back? See those 22,000 fierties and the 9,700 unwise guys? They met them and they picked them off on the way. Isn't that good? Nothing was wasted with God. They used these guys even though they were fierties and even though they weren't very wise. God still used them. But the end of the story, guys, is Gideon and those 300 men pushed that enemy back. They captured their kings and their princes. And Gideon was victorious and he won the respect of the Hebrew nation. So much so that they wanted him to be king. But Gideon says, no, the Lord will lead Israel. And it says Israel lived in peace for the next 40 years until Gideon's death. And can I tell you, God still gets his hand in Israel this very day. And we are praying for peace for that today, ladies. So ladies, you must agree. What a wonderful story. Debbie says this all the time. Who says the Bible's boring? See, if they were to make that into a film, I would go see it. It's better than any Netflix series you're watching just now. It's not boring, but anyway, it's a fantastic story. But what can we learn from it? What can we take from that tonight? Well, first of all, I want you to just look a wee bit at Gideon. Let's look at who he was. Let's have a wee look at his character. Commentators have got quite a lot to say about Gideon. Okay, some say he was a coward. Some say he was weak. Some say he was humble. I would suggest, at the very least, Gideon felt inadequate. Look at the way he responded to the angel. When the angel gave the commandments, he actually responded with the words of a queen song. Did you know that? I'm just a poor boy from a poor family. He did. He says, I'm a poor boy from a poor family. He did. I don't know if he was listening to Queen back in the day, but there you go. He used that line. The thing is, Gideon was also fearful, and we can see that, you know, our very first introduction to Gideon was he was in hiding from the Midianites. He was threshing his wheat to bake his bread so they wouldn't steal it from them. But here's something that we need to notice about Gideon, and you'll only notice this if you do your homework, ladies. See, when the angel came to see Gideon at first, Gideon was angry with God because he says, why have you abandoned me? Why have you abandoned me? Now, I'm sorry, that takes boldness. If a big angel came and sat down to me, next to me, gave me instructions, I don't think I would be bold enough to be angry with God. But that tells me there was a boldness in Gideon. We've seen the weakness, we've seen the fearfulness, we've seen the insecurity. But there was also a boldness in Gideon because he was angry initially. Gideon, when he was asked to do this big task, looked at his material possessions, didn't he? He looked at his social status and he felt he had nothing to offer, that he wasn't up to the job. But here's the thing, and I love this part of the story. Look at how God responds through the angels. The angel, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior, he calls him. He doesn't say, wee fearty, hiding, baking your bread. He says, mighty warrior. Here's the thing, God knew Gideon and he also knew his potential. And he was calling out the gifts that he knew Gideon possessed. Don't you love that about God? Wonderful. Ladies, can you relate? Have you ever felt inadequate? Have you ever felt not up to the job? Have you ever felt somebody could do this a lot better than me? Story of my life. But here's the thing, God knows you, ladies. He knows you intimately. He sees your potential. We just need to trust God and start to view ourselves as God sees us. Ladies, we're well taught in this, women to women. We done Mirror Mirror last year. We need to remind ourselves who we are. We are loved. We are beloved. We are daughters of the King. And some days we need to straighten our crown and remember whose daughters we are and see Him, see ourselves as how God sees us. You see, if God calls you to it, ladies, He'll equip you for it. no doubt in my mind, he done it for Gideon, he'll do it for you. God didn't look at Gideon's social position, he looked at the position of his heart. I would also argue that Gideon knew the scriptures and understood the power of God because he obeyed the angel, but he also went and done that sacrifice. You need to have an understanding of God and the things of God. When his first response, when he was looking for proof, was to go and prepare a sacrifice for God. That tells me he knew that God was powerful and he knew the scriptures. He clearly had a relationship with God because he communicated back and forth with God in what I would say is an easy and an intimate way, didn't he? You know, I mean, we saw that in the conversations he had asking for the signs. He wanted God to prove himself. If you have not got a relationship with somebody, would you be comfortable asking somebody for proof? I wouldn't. So that tells me that Gideon, even though his family didn't obey God, that tells me that Gideon had a relationship with God. We saw it when he put the fleece out twice. Gideon was very clear about what he wanted. It was very specific, wasn't it? Very clear, comfortable communication between Gideon and God, and I love that. Now, yes, it's clear that Gideon had his doubts. He was fearful. He was looking for reassurance. But who did he look for reassurance from? He looked for reassurance from God. If you've not got a relationship with someone, you're not going to look for reassurance from somebody you don't know too well. You're going to go to, if I'm needing reassurance, if I'm not sure of something, I've got a lovely cousin who's also my bestie, and I'll run it by her because I love her and I've got a close relationship with her, and I believe that's what the relationship God and Gideon had. The lovely thing is, in his fearfulness and in his doubt, God was so faithful, wasn't he? He provided the reassurance over and over and over again, even flung in the dream for good measure, didn't he? And he granted Gideon what he asked. He came through from Gideon. He met Gideon where he was at. Yes, God saw his weaknesses, but he worked with those weaknesses because he saw his potential, did he not? So ladies, we need to be developing that up-close personal relationship that Gideon had, that up-close relationship with God that Deborah had. In fact, when we've been looking at all these heroes and heroines, there's a common denominator. They had a relationship with God in which they communicated freely and were honest with God. They bared their souls. They didn't say, aye, okay, I'll just brave it. Yeah, I'm going to be okay, God. Don't worry, no, I'm fine. They didn't. They were honest. They bared their souls. And that's the relationship we want to have with God, because God's big enough to hear our doubts and our confusion. You know, so when we're fearful, when we feel inadequate, when we need reassurance, who do we go to? Our God. And we need to develop that close relationship so that we're comfortable to go to him in those circumstances, just like Gideon did. Gideon was also obedient. You know, the first big job Gideon got was to tear down the altar that the people had built to Baal. And here's the thing, along with 10 servants, he did do it. Now, he faced great adversity. Guys, this was a big deal in the community. This was a place where they worshipped their God. And God asked Gideon to tear it down. They were not happy. In fact, they wanted his life. But watch how God did this. He used his earthly father. And his earthly father stepped in and says, look, Baal wants him dead. Baal will kill him. Now, you and I know that Baal didn't have that power. But Gideon was obedient and God protected him in it. Isn't that lovely? You know, it was all preparation for what lay ahead. Think about it. God didn't just take Gideon from hiding, threshing the wheat, and stick him in front of 135,000 men. No, there was a process. And it started with reassuring him and reassuring him and reassuring him. And then he gave him his first big task. And when Gideon was obedient, God protected and equipped. Isn't that wonderful? So ladies, God meets us where we're at too. If you need reassurance, if you've got doubts and you've got fears tonight, can I ask you just to position yourself? Get in a position, sit before God, kneel before God, and just lay them down. Talk to God about them. He's able to take it. Even your fears and the things that you don't understand. Because here's the thing, he will come through for you. He will provide for you, and he will equip you for the task that he has for you. And when we are challenged, when we feel weak, when we feel ill-equipped, this is when God's strength is made perfect. This is when we see the victory, and he prepares us, he teaches us, he guides us for the plans and the purposes that he has for our life. Ladies, nothing is wasted. Some of us feel we've been in a wee bit of a desert place recently. Some of us have been doing life hard, places of hurt lately. You know, what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it and use it for our good. Now, don't mishear me. God doesn't cause it. What the enemy meant for evil, God turns. He turns it for our good. Because what he's going to do, he's going to give you beauty for ashes. He's going to take those ashes, he's going to take those wilderness places, those hurts, and he's going to turn it into something beautiful. It's all part of the preparation for what God's got for you. He done it for Gideon, and he'll do it for you. Isn't that wonderful? I would also argue, and this one might be a wee bit controversial, but anyway, I've never dodged controversy up to now, and I'm nearly 21. Gideon clearly had leadership qualities. Why do I think that? Well, 32,000 men joined him to get into battle. Those men would not have followed him if they hadn't seen something of a leader in him. How did the angel address him? He called him Mighty Warrior. Gideon went on to be the fifth judge of Israel. You don't become a judge if you've not got leadership qualities. And we'll maybe touch on that in a wee bit as well, about the leadership. So he definitely had leadership qualities. So he's quite a diverse character. But can you understand why I call him an unlikely hero? Because at first he doesn't come across as the big, brave, courageous man that you would maybe think. But do you see how God took him, worked with him, and he became a hero nonetheless? And I want you just, in finishing, mention four points, four lessons that we can take from that story and from Gideon. Firstly, ladies, the battle is not yours. You know, when looking through the story of Gideon, it's interesting to notice how many times in Gideon's story God's actions are mentioned. In Judges 6, for example, verse 12, God approached Gideon to lead the Midianites. Verse 14, God sent Gideon. Verse 16, God promises to be with Gideon. Verses 36 to 40, God gave signs of assurance to Gideon. God promised to deliver Israel with 300 men, and so it goes on. Can you see it? God's actions were woven in all of Gideon's stories. Now, at first, we could think that the battle was Gideon's, but it was never Gideon's. It was always God's battle from the very start. So let me ask you, ladies, are you in a battle tonight? It might not be a military battle like Gideon was in, but have you got a battle with your health, battle in your family, battle in your finances, battle with your mental health? Are you weary tonight? Can I encourage you to stop trying to fight that battle on your own? Stop trying to carry the burdens yourself, because here's the thing, it's not about you, it's about him. Your family are his, your health is his. Your finances are his. He's given you a sound mind. It's all about him. The battle belongs to the Lord. And I believe that's why God stripped Gideon's army down to 300. It was to demonstrate that it was God's power and God's power alone that brought that victory. Second point I want to make is sometimes God does big things in unlikely ways, doesn't he? Time and time again in the Bible, we witness God doing miraculous things in unlikely ways. For example, what are you talking about, Mary? I hear you crying. Well, let me give you a few examples. God saved humanity in its entirety by having a 500-year-old man build a boat in the desert. Now, let's just stop and ponder that. I know we live in an ageist society and we don't like putting labels on people. But Noah was 500. He was an old man. And he should have been sitting in his rocking chair, rubbing deep heat into his joints. But he wasn't. He was at B&Q every day buying, and I know there wasn't a B&Q, but the equivalent of B&Q. He was at B&Q buying wood every day, in the soaring heat, in the desert, hadn't rained for donkey's ages, building a boat. And it took 100 years. And who was here last week and we did Bible algebra? It was fantastic, wasn't it? The lovely Grace. At what age was Noah when the flood came? He was 600, 100 years in the desert, being Q every day, building a boat, and God used him to save humanity. I would say that was the miraculous in an unlikely way. God saved Moses by having his mum float him down the river in a basket, and the daughter of the fairy king who decreed that all the babies should be killed adopts him and then employs his own mum to be his nursemaid. That's miraculous in an unlikely way. God used a shepherd boy with a rock to kill a military giant. Jesus turned water into wine. God used a fearful Gideon who was insecure to lead Israel into victory. Do you see where I'm going with this, ladies? Ladies, don't waste time looking at how big the battle is or how big the obstacle is or how tricky the job is. Can I encourage you tonight to look for the torches and the trumpets? Watch for the Lord to do something only he can do so that the glory goes only to him. Amen. Third point, ladies. God will accomplish his plan. God is 100% perfectly in control of every circumstance and situation you will ever face. And I'm talking about you who have invited God into their life. He is in control, ladies. And some of us are doing life hard just now. Some of us, we've had situations that came left field. Caught us by surprise. But here's the thing. It didn't catch God by surprise. History is his story. He is an ever-present source of help. He was for Gideon. So when God says something will be done, you know it will be done. How do we know his will? That's where the word of God comes in. We have to find the scriptures that relate to our personal situation and we speak them out, we confess them, we stand on them, we stand on them, we stand on them, having done all to stand, we keep standing and the victory will come, ladies. In Judges 6, verses 16 to 23, God says to Gideon, I will be with you. You will strike Midian down as if it was one man. I will stay until you return. When God wills, God does. You know, God has a plan and a purpose for your lives, ladies, and he will be faithful to complete his plan. Here's a challenge for you tonight. Can I encourage you, instead of asking God to be with us in our plans, why not instead ask that he will allow us to be with him in his plans? Our lives would look completely different. Completely different. And the last and the final point I want to make tonight is God wants us to walk in confidence and faith. You know, when the time for the battle to occur happened, Gideon gave each man, each soldier, their torches, their trumpets, and their clay pots. And he gave them the clear instructions, watch me and do what I do. In that moment, Gideon gives us a beautiful picture of biblical leadership. He led by example and he equipped his men. I said earlier, I saw leadership qualities in Gideon. God asks us to follow his example. We have to trust him and he will equip us. We need to trust him through the difficult situations, ladies, and I am not playing that down. I know it's hard. But I've done it both ways. I've done it on my own and I've done it trusting God and I know what's the better. So we have to trust God in the difficult situations. We need to walk by faith and it's a choice. Remember I said at the beginning, Gideon decided to follow God. That's what faith is. We need to walk by faith through the uncertainty. Even when we don't see it, he's working. Even when we don't feel it, he's working. Tonight when you're sitting here, do you know God's working things out for you? He's working things out for you right now while you're sitting here. Just because you don't see it, just because you don't feel it, doesn't mean it ain't happening, because it is. You know, look at Gideon. He was victorious. Why was he victorious? Because he trusted in God. His faith was in God's might, not his own. He was obedient. He walked confidently and in faith. Why? Because he had an up-close personal relationship with God in which he communicated freely and daily. Ladies, there is an example in there for us. So, a brilliant story, I'm sure you agree. I've loved it. The last time I really dug into Gideon was probably Sunday school teacher days. And I've loved it. And there's so much to learn. You know, the story of Gideon encourages us to get moving, even if the vision at first isn't clear. But it also encourages to keep asking for clarity. You know, we could see that as a weakness in Gideon. You know, he kept asking God to reassure him. But he was asking for clarity. And do you know, that's okay to ask God for clarity. God gives you a vision and it's not clear. Ask him. Be a Gideon. Ask him for clarity. You know, God told Gideon to go with the strength that he has because it was in the battle and in Gideon's weakness that God's strength was made perfect. Ladies, don't wait till you feel ready because you're never going to feel ready. You're not an ever-ready battery. You're never going to feel ready. Go with the strength that you've got. God was willing to spend a considerable amount of time with Gideon, assuring him, reassuring him, preparing him for the work ahead. Do you see the process? Do you see how it started? He took him, he sent the angel, he reassured him, he gave him, and he equipped him. He gave him the first job, he obeyed, and you just see the hand of God right through Gideon's life. God called the most unlikely man to lead a spiritual revival, and he began it with destroying idols. Yeah, I'm coming back to that, ladies. An idol is something that takes the place of God in our lives. So what idols do you have in your life that need to go? What idols do you have in your life that's robbing you from spending time with God? Pastor Debbie calls them time bandits. We've talked about this lots in Women to Women. What are the kind of things that's stopping you from spending time with God? Can I ask you, ladies, challenge yourself, think about it, and get rid of them? Because that's where your journey will start. Get rid of them. Spend time. If you want to develop an up-close personal relationship with God that Gideon had, you need to remove the idols. That's what he's done. And look what God done. He destroyed that idol. And look at the victory Gideon had in his life after that. That's when he really came into his calling, wasn't it? Fantastic. So, ladies, Gideon was a man. He had an intimate relationship with God. And as a result, he had godly insight. He had wisdom to see the issues and the vision that lay ahead. And Gideon led with confidence. And those men, those 300 men, they followed them confidently, didn't they? So in finishing tonight, ladies, remember, the battle is not ours. It's his. Trust him with your cares and your concerns and your families. Don't try and put him in a box. He can do the most miraculous things in unlikely ways. And don't limit God to your own reasons. Don't try to figure out how he wants to do it or how he's going to do it. We've saw with Noah. We've saw with Moses. God does it in the most unlikely ways. Don't try to figure that out. Just trust him. God will accomplish his plan in your life. He is in control. And no matter how difficult it looks, can I assure you tonight, he's on it. He's in it. And it will be done. Ladies, your breakthrough is coming. It's coming. Our job is to be like Gideon. Walk in confidence and faith, trusting our good, good Father to come through for us and lead us into victory. Communicating with him daily, being honest with him, allowing him to have his way in our lives, getting rid of the idols. And my last point, ladies, the more time we spend with God, the more we connect ourselves to his power. Thank you for listening. God bless. I'm going to just pray now. Father God, I just thank you. Thank you for each lady here tonight, Lord. And I just pray you would just bless their heart. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to share your word. And Lord, for looking at Gideon, our unlikely hero. Thank you, Lord, for how your hand was on Gideon's life. And Lord, I pray for each lady tonight. And I pray that your hand would be on their lives, Father God. That they would get to know you more intimately, Lord. That they would communicate with you freely and easily, sharing their inadequacies, sharing their doubts, sharing their fears, and allowing you to fight the battle for them. So Lord, I thank you for them, Lord, and I just pray, Lord, as we all go and go our separate ways, Lord, and have our week off, Lord, I pray you would bless each one, you would refresh each one, and you would just bring them back, Lord, with ears to hear and open hearts to receive what you have for them. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Ladies, the cross is